Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another, so we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
Well, good morning, Northside. I heard a nasty rumor that it is snowing outside. What on earth? I was telling first service, like, I can handle one. I like all of the seasons. I can handle all of them, but I want one at a time. Like, you know, like, I can't handle this going back and forth. It's not working out for me. So I want to talk about religion this morning. It's a good way to deafen a room, right? Sit down at the dinner table. You know, you're hanging out, having a really good time. If you really want to, like, put just like a throw a wrench in all that, just say that. I want to talk about religion. Anybody else here want to talk about religion? Religion is a very interesting topic. It's a whole lot like politics. Like, if you want to argue with people, and some of you really like to do that, just throw those two words out. When you start to mix them together, too, it's very interesting. So religion, politics, religion. We're going to talk about religion this morning. We're at the end of our series, Soul Detox. You know, keeping ourselves, living clean lives in a contaminated world. And our final message this morning is on toxic religion. Now, for some of you, the word religion may actually, you may have like a special place in your heart for that word. Like, you grew up and you would put words like old time in front of religion, like that old time religion. And it's for you, it's a security blanket. And you actually, when you hear the word religion, you don't think bad things. You think it's actually a good thing. And that's what the world needs, is a little bit more religion. On the other hand, there's some of you who hear that word, and it's actually a word you have to, like, wash your mouth out after you say it. Like, it's in that realm of, because in the name of religion, you have seen so many unjust things done. You've seen people act very unreligious. You've seen people act very ungracious and unmerciful. Like, you think of religion as really it's a buzzword for you, because it's a hot topic and it's not a good thing. And so this morning we want to look at what is toxic religion. How can we look and see and identify what toxic religion, as Jesus called it out and pointed it out? And not only how can we identify it, but how can we avoid it? But also, then we want to kind of flip the script and talk about pure religion, because the Bible uses that word religion. It uses that word religion in two different ways. Jesus talks about the religious leaders in a bad way. But then James would talk about pure religion when he would say that it is pure and undefiled and untainted from the world. James chapter 1, verse 27. And so let's go through this. We want to look at what is toxic religion and how do we avoid it? But also we want to see what is pure religion? What is the religion that James is talking about here? And so as we wrap up this series, we want to do that. But we're going to start with the bad news. If you brought your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 6. You've got your Bibles or a device, you can jump on our free Wi-Fi there. You can turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I want to first look at the two marks of truly toxic religion. True marks. If we're going to identify what truly toxic religion is, first off, it's this: a focus on outward appearance. A focus on outward appearance. Now, thanks to the Pharisees, we have a lot of really good, bad examples of religion in the scriptures. It seems like everywhere that Jesus went, everywhere that Jesus stopped, every stop as he is going to heal the sick and to feed the 5,000 or whatever, there were Pharisees lurking around the back and they were hanging out around him. And we know that they were looking for an excuse to arrest him and even worse. And so everywhere he stops, it seems he has a run-in with these religious leaders, with these Pharisees. And one thing that they were pretty well known for, as a matter of fact, they were pretty proud of it, was their outward appearance. The Pharisees, they were so concerned with how they looked, they turned every Sunday into like a Pharisaical fashion show, right? So it's like, here comes the parade of Pharisees, and all the peasants would kind of bow down and say, here comes all the religious people. So they come out in their flowing robes and all of these things tied to them. And they had, you know, showing off their new fancy tassels and all of their new fancy ideas. They would stand on the street corners and they would pray these really, really long prayers, like, you know, the type, right? were the words where you like need Wikipedia on the side and be like, what does that word even mean? You know, like, you know, somebody who just long prayers and loud prayers saying things, you know, saying things like look how holy I am and all of the words that I've used. And they, you know, when they would fast, they would let everyone know that they were fasting. Let everyone know. I mean, they'd take a picture, put it on their Instagram, you know, like, fasting is so hard, you know, things like that. They would say, everybody needs to know that I'm fasting. So their faces would look all like grim and rough. And they'd be like, you know, like, have you noticed I'm losing weight because I'm fasting? Like things like that. And when they gave their offering, this is something I think we might want to try. If you gave their offering, they would take their offering and they would raise it up in the air really, really high so everyone could see. You know, it would almost be like somebody coming in and like making it rain with their offering, you know, like all over the room. And so and then they would drop it in these huge buckets. It would make all kinds of clanking and, you know, all this noise so that everybody knew. Everybody would stop and look and be like, wow, there's still money coming out of his hands. Like he's still giving. And so he's like, yeah, I've got it. I want everybody to know. There was no question on how devoted they were to God. So Matthew chapter 6, this is during the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus knows there's Pharisees listening. And if they're not there listening, he knows it's going to get back to him. But he's sitting there listening and Jesus comes and he pulls the proverbial curtain back on the wizard, right? He says, if you notice one thing about Jesus, he actually yells at the religious people way more, like 100% more, than he does like the obvious sinners. Like woman at the well, he doesn't go, get it together, lady. Like, come on. You know, woman caught in adultery. How could you possibly? You know, he doesn't scold her. He says, go and sin no more. He kneels down, he heals, he saves. But then when he comes to the religious leaders, you notice a different tone when Jesus is talking. You know, it's a different tone. So things change when Jesus is talking. And me and Kevin were talking about this a little bit as we were preparing the sermon. And I think that it really is that Jesus looks at the Pharisees and he's so frustrated because he knows that they're so close, yet they're so far away. These are the people that are supposed to get it, right? They're supposed to have it. Like they're the religious leaders. People are looking to them. What is pure religion? And then they look and they see this all focused with their outward appearance. All focus with look how good I am. Look how clean I am. Look how everybody try to get to this level because I look like this. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Jesus says this to the crowds. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet. We could try that. Sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets that they may be praised by others. He says in verses 5 and 7, when you pray, you must not look like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, that they may be seen by others. And when you pray, do not heap empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. You ever feel like you've heard a prayer like that, where somebody just keeps on talking and talking and talking, or even somebody just talking to you? You're like, okay, you said it 5 times now, I get it, right? Look what he says in verses 16 through 18. And when you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, and their fasting may be seen by others. But when you fast, anoint your head with oil, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others. So Jesus comes to the people. He comes to the common folks, the non-religious types, you know, the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. And he says, this religion, as you see it, it's toxic. If you have any kind of a Bible background or you grew up in a church or you, you know, maybe been around a Christian organization or something like that, you have seen this toxic religion. Likely you read that scripture with somebody's face in your head or an organization or a church in mind when you read that. You know, like if you know, you grew up in a church that's very, very legalistic and you just think like, man, it was all about that. As a matter of fact, like just as a show of hands, have raise your hand if you've experienced religion that was all about what it looked like on the outside. Have you experienced it? Okay. Those are all the dressed up people. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking. Being concerned with outward appearance has churches filled with people carrying 5-pound Bibles into a building that, you know, dressed to impress. They put a smile on their face, even though their face isn't really happy, so that they can convince people that they've got it all together. Jesus would come later and he would call the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. It's like your car when you go and you wash and you wax the minivan, but you open the sliding door and all of the stuff falls out, right? Like it looks great on the outside, but don't touch that door, right? That was what he called the Pharisees, whitewashed tombs. He said, on the outside, you look great. You guys look great. I mean, you got the suit and tie. You are just, you know, whatever you call it, fly. I don't know what kids say these days. You've got it figured out on the outside, but on the inside, Jesus would say, you're decaying flesh. You're rotting dead man's bones. I remember growing up, my parents would always want me to go clean my room. My parents are like that. It's weird. So they would tell me to go clean my room. And so I would go and clean my room. I didn't have a really big room, but I had a whole bunch of crap in it. So I would take all of the stuff. And as any kid, brilliant idea, I would shove as much of it as could in the closet, right? And then you pull that door shut. And then there was still more stuff. So where did that go? Under the bed, right? You did it too. Okay. Shove it all up under the bed. And then I could make the bed. And, you know, the blankets hang over the edge. Like you can't see what's in the closet. You can't see what my room looks great. It just looks awesome. So then I would stand out like, the perfect child. And I would say, Dad, my room is clean. Can I go outside and play now? And he would say, you cleaned your room that fast? I mean, he knew what was up. So he would come in and he would start the inspection and I'm just like, yeah, he's buying it. And then he would go over to the closet door and he'd slide it open. Here comes all of this stuff just around. I was like, okay, that's bad. Like he got me. That's going to take a little bit more time. Well, then he would go, and this is why I messed up, folks. Okay. He walked over to my bed. It took my mattress and literally flipped it upside down. Like he just like flipped it over, like not in a violent way, but in like it's a mattress. It's not going to hurt anybody. Right. So he just flipped it over, revealing all of the junk that was underneath the bed. So now I have a closet that has overflowed back into my room. I have a bed that doesn't have a mattress on it. And it's just a frame with a bunch of junk all over it. And I get to start over cleaning my room. I remember a few times when I would be cleaning my room, I would be in there like shoving stuff under the bed in the closet and all trying to hide stuff. My mom would walk by and she's like just shaking her head because she knew. As a matter of fact, when room cleaning time started, by the time I was a little bit older, it started with my bed like being removed from my room. Some of you parents may try that. You'd be like, just take it out. Okay. And I don't know where to hide anything. So, but I knew the whole time. I knew that there was no way I was getting away with that. After the first time my bed got flipped, I knew there's no way that my dad, he knew the places I could hide the all of the clothes. He knew the places I could hide all the trash. He knew. I think it's very interesting the choice of words that Jesus uses there in Matthew chapter 6. After he says, don't pray like the hypocrites, he says this, your Father in heaven knows. And then secondly, he says, don't fast like the hypocrites. Your Father in heaven knows. He says, don't give like the hypocrites. Your Father in heaven knows. What he's saying is, there's no one to fool here. There's no one to fool here. Your Father in heaven knows. He knows your prayer before you even pray it. So why the words? Why do you go on and on and on and on? He knows why you're fasting. He knows your heart when you're giving or not giving. Your Father in heaven knows. Jesus says this multiple times in Matthew chapter 6 because he wants them to know this outward appearance, this toxic religion that's all about outward appearance, you're not fooling anyone. You see, being concerned with your outward appearance may be fooling those around you. They may think you're very religious. And you may be fooling yourself. You may think, I've got it all together. But it isn't fooling God. Your Father in heaven knows. You see, toxic religion has you in self-denial of your own sin. You've covered all of that up because it's all on the outside. It's all on the outside. It makes us think that is the goal of being a Christian. Toxic religion will do that. It will make you feel like the goal of being a Christian is to keep everything on the outside looking perfect, while on the inside you're rotting, decaying flesh. On the inside, behind the closet door, underneath the bed, you know the truth. And your Father in heaven knows. Which leads to the second mark of truly toxic religion is this posture of self-reliance. You may call it self-righteousness or I've got this under control attitude. I've got this. I'm strong enough. I'm bold enough. My personality will get me through this. Jesus has another well-documented run-in with his toxic religious foes in Matthew chapter 23. He's actually in the temple where no doubt the Pharisees were all there. You had Pharisees, you had tax, everyone's kind of gathered in the temple. He's staring right at them and calling them out in the temple. As a matter of fact, when I was talking to Kevin about this sermon this week, we kind of read over it Tuesday, and we were talking, you know, let's talk about Matthew 23 and that sort of thing. So he goes home and he reads it. He comes back, and what he said to me Wednesday morning was, he says, "I love angry Jesus in Matthew 23. And I was like, "Easy, Kevin." Like, I don't know what sermon they're getting over across the street, but your kids may just be like, angry Jesus. But angry Jesus in Matthew chapter 23, he actually would pay the price for it. This is actually going to start a snowball effect that would lead four chapters later to the murder of Jesus. It's not a stretch to say that what Jesus says to the Pharisees and to the crowds in Matthew chapter 23 through 25 is Jesus literally signing his death certificate. Religious people get really upset when you step on their toes, when you call them out. And Jesus was stomping. So I'm just going to run through these really. The scriptures will come up on the screen. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase them just a little bit. Maybe this will step on your toes as well. I know some of them did mine. Verse 13, Jesus tells the Pharisees that you keep people from a grace that you yourself haven't even accepted. He says this, for you neither yourselves, you never enter yourselves, nor allow who would enter to go in. You don't allow those who would enter to go in. He's like, you're not just keeping yourself from the grace of God. You're not letting anybody else in either. Verse 15, he says, when you share your faith, they were very evangelistic with their legalism. When you do share your faith, you only produce for yourself another Pharisee. The word in here, Jesus is literally telling them, you make a convert, but then you just drag them to hell with you. Verse 23, Jesus tells them, you hold tight to the minute details or single verse laws, yet you show no signs of mercy or justice or the faithfulness of God. You see, you found that one verse in the middle of Leviticus that proves your point, but you forgot about mercy. You forgot about justice. You forgot about the faithfulness of God. Jesus says, these are the weightier matters of the law. These are the weightier matters of the law. Yeah, you should tithe. Should you tithe? He says, yes. You should have done both. But don't forget justice, mercy, faithfulness. Verse 25 says, you believe life change works from the outside in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but the inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. And self-reliance, and that I can do it, and I can pull myself up, and I've got this under control, and I can follow the rules, and here's the list. I'll do this, and I'll be righteous. Verse 27, you appear to be holy on the outside, but on the inside you're rotten. He calls them whitewashed tombs. Verse 29, this one's very interesting. I think we're all pretty guilty of this. You have your own revisionist history when it comes to your sin. And maybe you even call them the good old days. Or like, when I was growing up, we never would have. Or kids these days. Or we think we have such a short-term memory when it comes to our sin. And the grace that God has given us. But man, for everybody else, man, we can just list and list and list. Man, we've got books and volumes upon volumes of what everybody else is doing wrong. This is self-reliance. This is self-righteousness. Have you seen these behaviors? Can you identify them in yourself? We're not here to sit on a throne of religion, toxic religion, and cast stones down on the people who are seemingly less holy than we are. Toxic religion says this. It says, become like us and then you get into the club. You know, become like this, look like this, act like this, vote like this, dress up, straighten up, shape up, and then you get into the club. That flies right in the face of everything that's the gospel. The Pharisees were consumed with self-reliance. It wasn't ever about what God did. It was about the capacity to follow the law and to save themselves. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I got myself, man, my life was a wreck, and I just got my stuff together. I fixed myself, and I've got this sense of pride and self-reliance that I really did something. Jesus says to the Pharisees, you think you hold the keys to religion, but the door's been unlocked the whole time. You're trying to lock a door. You're trying to block an entrance that doesn't even exist. outward-focused, self-righteous, toxic religion doesn't bring people to Jesus. It actually pushes them away. Some of you have seen this. Some of you have done this. But some of you have stayed and strayed away from the church because of this. Because of toxic religion. Because someone said that it was all about what you look like on the outside. Or it's all about getting yourself fixed before Jesus can come into your life. God, forgive us if we stand in the way of people getting to the grace of Jesus. And we do it because we think that they don't live up to our standards. Well, newsflash, not a fake newsflash, but a real newsflash. We don't even live up to our standards. I mean, think about that. Jesus says, you're not even willing to go and get the grace that Jesus has offered, and you're keeping other people from getting it. Toxic religion poisons churches. It keeps people from Jesus. Churches don't grow when they're toxic. It keeps people away from Jesus, and it gives us a false sense of who's really doing the saving. We think we did something. We think that we pulled ourselves up to salvation. Like, oh, I got to this point, and then I'm going to say that Jesus helped me. And so if that's toxic religion, outward appearance, self-reliance, what does pure religion look like? We have two marks of truly pure religion. Number one is this: understanding of rules and relationship. Understanding of rules is in the law that's laid before you. Think of the first, you know, three quarters of your Bible. Understanding rules and relationship. How many of you in the room would call yourselves rule followers? Raise your hand. I told you to raise your hand, so you're going to raise your hand, right? Rule followers. If it's in the book, I'm going to do it, right? Rule followers, okay? How many of you on the other side, we'll just weed you out really quick. How many of you sped to church this morning, all right? Just kidding. How many of you call yourselves rule benders, okay? That's a nice way to put it. Or breakers. Or you just don't even care. You're just like, rules? What are those? Okay? We all fall in a different category, and some of you are even being self-righteous at this point. You're like, you know, I think I have the right amount of bending and following, right? I was like, shut up, okay? You're on one side or the other, okay? Get off the fence. You're either a rule follower, but I think we can all agree that rules can be helpful, right? Rules can be helpful. I mean, rules can be helpful because you know when you're breaking them, right? Rule breakers. Rules can be helpful because we know what to do. Rules can save lives. Laws can make an otherwise chaotic world a little more tame and a little more safe. But the problem with religious people, the problem with toxic religion is it comes in and it says, okay, these rules, all you rule followers, these rules, all of you rule benders, that's actually what you need to do to be saved. That's actually what you need to rely on to be saved. The problem with religious people is that we're so quick to think that the rules are actually what saves us. This seems basic and elementary, but I don't think we can overstate this. And some of you need to hear this for the very first time, maybe all over again. You cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. It's not possible. You cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. You may have been able to do it with your parents. The law that they laid down, you know, they had the law. They were the final answer. Okay, you may be able to say, if I follow all of the rules, then, you know, my parents will be pleased with me. That may be true with your parents. That may be true with how you grew up. But it's not true with the way it works with God. You cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. The law of Moses, man-made laws, made up laws, civil laws, and this, I'm not saying just go out and break them all. Some of your rule followers are like, yes, finally the sermon I've been waiting for, right? Any teaching that says, follow this, do this, get into this, this form, shape into, jump through this hoop, wear this, don't wear this, have this on your body, don't have this on your body, eat this, don't eat this, it's toxic religion. Read the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians, Paul is back and forth with the Galatians saying, you're following a gospel that's not even good news. It's not good news if you say, Jesus plus, here's a bunch of other stuff you got to do. It's toxic religion. Look at what Romans chapter 3, verse 20. The first part says, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Some of you in the room, if you've heard that, that's like a dagger to your heart because you're a rule follower. And you say, so I can't just follow the rules and be all right? Like, I can't just. Some of you rule breakers are like, that's kind of a relief. It's kind of a relief. You're looking at the rule followers like, ha ha. You know, like, by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. We're all on the same level here. So why the law? What's up with the first three quarters of my Bible? Why, when I do a Bible reading plan throughout the year, I've got to spend months in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? Why do I have to do that? Because it's not going to help. It's not going to help me. So why can't I just skip to the good stuff, right? The good stories. Why can't I get to David and Goliath? And I was like, what's the point of the law? Why is the law there? Look at the rest of verse 20. Since through the law comes knowledge of sin. You see, this whole time we've been thinking that it's the laws that save us. It's the laws that if we do the right things and we avoid the wrong things and we walk the right road, we walk the straight and narrow path, we get to that point, that will save us. When all along, here comes Paul and he says, actually the law is there to give you a knowledge of your sin. It's to give you a knowledge of your sin. The purpose of the law is to show you your need for a Savior. And again, that seems so basic element. Some of you have heard that over and over. Some of you are born in a pew, which I think is like the grossest way to be born. But I don't know why they say that. But the point of the law is to show that you need help. You've been raised your whole life saying, follow these rules, follow these rules. Go back to Deuteronomy, find that verse. I mean, you got that verse in the middle of Leviticus. Like, that's the key. If you can do that, man, you've got it all figured out. But the point of the law is not to show you how perfect you can be. It's to show you that you need help. But we don't like asking for help. We actually really hate asking for help. Rule benders, rule followers, whatever category you lay in, we don't like asking for help. We're self-reliant people, right? We love to do it ourselves. Some of you in here have tried everything. You've tried everything but your need for a Savior. You tried everything but saying, Jesus, I need you to save me. You've tried to be good. You've tried to be bad. You've tried to not care. You've tried to following all of the rules, and you always end up lacking. And you're like, well, it gives. I've tried everything except for the only thing that works. Understanding rules and relationships means understanding that rules cannot save you. The rules cannot save you. The rules or the law are an arrow pointing not to a perfect life, but to a perfect Savior. So why do we have the rules? It's as one song that I heard once put it this way. Maybe do's and don'ts are made to show how much we do and don't ever make it. It's an arrow pointing to, hey, you don't have it all together. You're going to need some help with this. You're going to need a lot of help with this. It's not just something to come even and kind of hold your hand through it. It is something to point and say, you're going to fail at this, and you're going to fail hard. And everything you do on the outside, it's just a joke. God knows it's a joke. You know it's a joke. You're trying to save yourself, but it's the relationship that you need. And that's the second mark of true religion, is a posture of Savior reliance. A posture of savings. Not self-righteousness, not self-reliance, not I did this, I did it my way, my personality and my gumption, that's what got me through it. It's Savior reliance. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Did you get that? Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. You'll recognize some of this. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Well, that's such a gospel rich, such a pregnant verse. There's so much in that verse. So much good news for rule followers. So much good news for rule breakers. You see, right standing with God only comes from faith in Christ. That's the only way. We're done trying to save ourselves. We're done trying to whitewash our own tombs. We're done trying to say Jesus plus my track record equals. We have sin. We need a Savior. The kingdom of God has no room for self-righteousness, no self-reliance. You see, toxic religion says, look what I did. Pure religion says, look what he did. Toxic religion says, I fixed my life. I've got the skills to fix my own life. Look at what I did. Man, I was in a pit and I really pulled myself out. Look at me. Pure religion says, Jesus brought me from death to life and I can't take any credit for it. Toxic religion says, look how great I am on the outside and on the inside. Look how righteous I am. I figured it out. Pure religion says, look how great he is. Look how great our God is. Look at my story and how it can be your story. How Jesus brings dead things to life. How he brings rotting, decaying flesh on the inside. And he changes us from there. And he works his way out. Are there things that are going to change on the outside in the life of a believer? Absolutely. We call those the fruit of the Spirit. There are things that come out of a Christian whenever you change from the inside out. But it doesn't start in the Pharisaical way of I've just got to dress nicer, I've got to look the part, and then maybe on the inside I'll start to change. See, if I rely on myself, at best I'm a Pharisee. At my best I'm a Pharisee. I'm a hypocrite. I'm a whitewashed tomb. I'm religious. But if I rely on my Savior, at my worst, I know I'm forgiven and free. I know I'm still forgiven and free. If you're one of our communion servers, I'm going to go ahead and have you head towards the back and get ready because we're going to roll right into communion. You know, communion is really a time of self-reflection. We talk about self-reliance. Self-reflection is when you look at yourself in the mirror and go, man, I don't have this all together. All the stuff I've been trying to do, I am messing this up royally. So to wrap up, I didn't really know how to finish this. I actually wanted to share this parable with you. From Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable, and it gives such a clear picture of the difference between toxic religion and pure religion. It's just laid out right there. It's so simple to see in the parable. So instead of telling you the story, I grabbed a clip from the Bible series they showed on TV. I don't know, it's been a couple years now, but from the Bible series, and I just love the way this is depicted in cinematic form. So I'm just gonna have you direct your attentions to the screen. And see if you can see the difference. See if you can see toxic religion versus pure religion and which one God blesses and which one Jesus is really after. With the screens.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.